This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prep with Mike. Thank you for your support. All right, welcome everybody to this special recorded interview with Joe Nobody. This is being offered as a bonus item to our self-defense and home defense and family safety Health Ranger Live course. So I want to thank all of you who have participated in that course. Now in this segment, you're going to get some very in-depth information. A lot of this is information that we don't release publicly. And Joe Nobody is on the line with us. He's the author of numerous books that I highly and strongly recommend you take a look at, including Holding Your Ground, the Teotihuacan Tuxedo. That's Teotihuacan is the acronym for The End of the World as We Know It. Tuxedo, following that, that's the book. He's also got Holding Their Own, a fiction novel that is a very good read, describing how a family was able to escape the city after a grid down situation, and then teaching you a lot of tactics and strategies during that escape. So as you read the novel, you're actually learning more tactics and strategies and things that you can do to stay safe. Now, Joe Nobody, here with us today, he's going to be talking with us and sharing details about perimeter defense, how you can have early warning systems to know when someone might be approaching your property. I'm going to be asking him specifically about apartment defense and city defense. If you're in a house in a city, if you're in an apartment, in a condo, what kinds of things can you do there to have early warning alerts? Also, night vision equipment. We're going to get his recommendation for the best night vision gear available today, and gear that's actually affordable, because there's some stuff out there that you can spend $20,000-$25,000 on. We're obviously not going to be recommending that. It's kind of out of reach for most people. And other details. So, Joe, are you with us today?
I am, Mike. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you back on, Joe. You've been a very valuable contributor, and you've helped enlighten many people about tactical security and the need for that in this very quickly changing environment. Let me start out by asking you some questions based on government behavior right now. I recently posted a story that detailed the government's buying behavior. The Department of Homeland Security has awarded a contract for acquiring 450 million rounds of hollow point 40 caliber bullets, well, cartridges, I should say, ammo. The DHS has also ordered heavily armored assault vehicles. They also have ordered thousands of bulletproof roadside checkpoint booths with stop and go signs that they can put on the back of a truck and drive out to a road, and they can drop it just about anywhere and set up checkpoints within a matter of hours. In addition to that, they've been purchasing very high quantities, $400,000 worth of potassium iodide, which, as you know, is anti-radiation pills to protect your thyroid in the case of radioactive fallout. Now, given that information, Joe, and knowing what you know, what do you think all that is possibly for?
Well, that has been a real head-scratcher for a lot of different people, especially the ammunition. That is an enormous amount of ammunition. Obviously, during Katrina, the follow-on FEMA exercises, for lack of a, activities, for lack of a better word, security was a big issue. And I think that Department of Homeland Security realizes that. I have read quite a bit about the roadside bulletproof booths, if you will, the roadblock booths. I think a lot of people are referring to them as.
Yeah.
And you can mentally go there with why that would be important on a large regionalized national disaster. The ammo. The official explanation is that it is for practice, exercise, et cetera, et cetera.
Joe, you know as well as I do that nobody buys hollow points for target practice. They buy full metal jacket. It's cheaper.
Absolutely. And you also can't do a cross-military application because hollow points are against the Geneva Convention.
Right.
And last time I checked, our military does not violate that convention, if at all possible.
And just for the listeners to know, the reason hollow points are not allowed by the Geneva Convention is because they cause too much traumatic injury and blood loss on the battlefield, correct?
That is correct. The convention specifically prohibits any design of ammunition that is intentionally built or intentionally designed to cause flesh damage.
Okay, right. That would be hollow points, which, of course, have a rapid expansion and cause extreme trauma and bleeding internally. So even in Hurricane Katrina, I don't think there were very many rounds fired by anybody. Gunshots were rare. I mean, they existed, but the government didn't have to use firearms very often. So, yeah, why would they need 450 million rounds?
That is a mountain of ammunition, sir. That's more than I go through in a year. A little bit more. I cannot answer that. I see no logic in it. And if you let your mind run with that, you come to some really frightening conclusions.
All right. Well, I laid out a few scenarios that I think are likely. It could be, for example, suppose you have a nationwide pandemic outbreak and the government has to quarantine a city or multiple cities to keep people in so they can't leave. That would be obviously one way to do it. Have a bunch of DHS agents loaded up with 40 caliber rounds just shooting at anybody who tries to leave the city. Sounds horrifying, but we've seen weird things before, you know, in human history. There are other scenarios such as a grid down scenario, power outage, mass refugees leaving the cities, probably not in an orderly fashion. In fact, that's something you describe in your book, holding their own, Joe. What do you think that's a possible scenario?
It is. What bothers me about the 40 caliber ammunition is that is a pistol round. There are assault weapons in the short barrel class or in the submachine gun class that do fire a 40 caliber round, but they are not known to be standard equipment for anyone operating under U.S. government rules and regulations, except for maybe some of the special forces guys out of Bragg.
All right.
And so that's a pistol round, and again, 450 million rounds of pistol ammunition. You just can't hardly make any sense out of it. Even in the most in-depth disaster, take control, martial law scenario, that much pistol ammunition is a mystery.
Yeah, a big mystery. And just for those listening who may not be familiar with ammunition, and there are many here who are sort of first-time people in the realm of firearms, believe it or not. A 40 caliber round, I believe it has somewhere between, 50 and 70% more power than a 9mm round. Is that roughly correct?
That's roughly correct. A 40 caliber is very, very similar to a 10mm.
Yeah.
So it is somewhere between a 9mm and a 45 Colt.
Yeah.
ACP. Very effective round. For those that remember the old television show Miami Vice. Boy, I'm aging myself here.
You and me both.
Sonny Crockett carried a 10mm Delta Elite. Was that really cool looking pistol when I was a younger guy? And that is really the equivalent of a 40 caliber Smith and Wesson.
Now, but NATO doesn't use a 40 caliber round anywhere, do they? They use all 9mm, don't they?
That's correct. NATO for pistol rounds and most submachine guns. Everybody has heard of Uzis or MP5s, very popular 10 or 15 years ago with the Special Forces troopers. Those are all 9mm. You do see some that are 45 caliber. 40 caliber is quite rare in military law enforcement usage. I would say it's the third or fourth most common pistol round.
Yeah.
So again, that many millions of pistol rounds, well, that's a mystery. I can't connect those dots.
All right. Well, I can't either. So we'll move on to the next topic. It's just bewildering that, you know, we stumble across these announcements. The ammo manufacturer, which in this case was ATK, I believe, put out a press release that said they'd been awarded this contract. And, you know, they were bragging about it, might help their stock price. I'm just stunned that we stumble across this stuff that shows the government is preparing for something really, really big.
That 450 million rounds, that's a lot. It's an unimaginable. I read somewhere where during the entire Gulf War, rifle rounds and pistol rounds, our troops used 6.8 million rounds of ammunition. I can't verify that as a fact, obviously, but that's a military force of 600,000 plus in an active combat zone, and in 1 year they used 6.8 million rounds.
Wait a minute, this is a big deal. I was kind of curious about this too. I don't know how many rounds are typically fired in like a Gulf War, Desert Storm situation. You're saying 6.8 million rounds roughly in 1 year there?
In the first year of OIF.
Wow.
Operation Iraqi Freedom, yeah. And I believe that statistic, which I can do some further research, try to find that again, but I believe that included, you know, what everybody referred to as the warm-up.
Wow, so even on a scale of war, you know, 5 to 10 million rounds would typically be sufficient for a full-blown war with an enemy nation, and we're talking the DHS domestically is going to have 400 million plus rounds to be used domestically in the United States. That is unimaginable. I can't. All right, I know we got to move on, Joe, but I'm just, what are they thinking?
When I first read that, I thought it was a misprint. It had to be a misprint. 4.5 million rounds would last. Department of Homeland Security, with all of their pistols, training, all of that would last them 10, 15, 20 years.
Wow.
And so when I first read that, no, it's 4.5 million. But then everything since then has been, no, it's 450 million rounds.
You know what? I'm gonna show a 9mm hollow point round on camera here, just so people can see. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing. Using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited, it's inspected, it's audited. It's a two-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products, and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared,
Do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.